Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in everyday life. Hi, everyone. We are starting this podcast now.
We should.
Pastor David.
Hi.
He's here. And Pastor Bob.
I haven't started yet.
No,
I'll start.
Ready
now.
Or not.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Very good. Are we all present in our minds here?
I was going to say that.
Wait a minute.
We're going to be present. I'm like, I've spent a lot of time around Pastor David. That's a pastor. Right. And you said it. It was so great.
No, you know.
My mind.
Wait a minute.
I truly apologize.
Who are you?
Yeah.
You didn't present yourself.
Oh.
You're not present.
I'm not really present. That's why.
Present.
A hologram.
You're a hologram.
This is Pastor Liz.
I'm a figment of your imagination.
Yep.
Probably true.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in that category.
Yeah. Yes. I'm Liz. Okay.
All right.
Wait, nice. Is that
good? I'm better now.
Okay.
Okay.
You're present now?
I'm present.
You're here? Okay. Good.
I'm very mindful.
Very mindful. Very demure. Okay. We are.
It's the first time anyone ever said that to me.
Okay. We are talking about the presence of the Lord.
Like Christmas?
Yes.
Okay.
The presence. The presence of the Lord, which is kind of a weird phrase.
So good.
Is it?
I mean, there's like a joy presence.
What does it mean? What does that mean, the presence of the Lord? Why are you saying so good? Like, what are you?
Well, on a personal level, when someone says the presence of the Lord, yeah, it brings me to a place of being with him.
Right now?
It's a little tougher here. but most of the time.
Yeah. This is a hard place for him to reach.
Yes. Deep in the bowels.
The bunker.
The bunker, yes. It brings my soul into a place
of what?
Of thinking about being with him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. David, yeah. what does it mean when we say the presence of the Lord? We use this phrase a lot.
Yeah. Well, what the Bible means by it.
Oh, no, the Bible. I know what the Bible means by it, but I didn't go there. That would be giving us the Bible thing.
Well, okay.
Okay. What do people mean?
What people, I think, mean a feeling that they have.
Yeah.
That, I really feel that God is here.
Yeah.
And that can be really powerful. I do believe there's degrees of God's presence. There's manifestations. There's greater places of glory, like the throne room of heaven. God is present there and total glory. He's present here just as much in a weird way.
Getting weirder all the time.
You know, and we're not, you know, it's not the degree and it's not the same flavor as it is in heaven. But I mean, I was going to say the Bible says the presence of God is being before the face of God, you know, and so
countenance.
Everything that's before his face, that would pretty much include everything unless there's some judicial turning of his face away from you. Okay, we might talk about that. But everything is before his face.
Can you face her when you say that? I felt like I was being judged.
But anyway, so that kind of just gets at a beginning. But I don't think people necessarily know that. They just think like, oh, I felt God when they say that.
Yeah, I think that's how most people mean it when they say it. Like the aura of God is here. Or like
aura 5,000.
The feeling of God. I feel like God is here. I think there's like a warm fuzzy maybe that people mean when they're talking about the presence.
Yeah, they're probably not talking about the judgment presence.
But they're probably not. Yeah, I think there's a lot of
nobody wants a fire
that comes from the presence.
Isn't that
of the
fun? Isn't that funny though? Where like the presence of nice God is here, like not actual God, just like the God who feels good.
Yeah, because remember that one of the times we see the people in the presence of God is Nadab and Abihu.
Right.
In Leviticus 10, fire came out from the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
And incinerated them. All right, I went there, but
we went dark really quick. I was hoping we'd get a little further into this before we went dark.
It just means there's more to it than we might.
Well, I do think. I mean, if you think about like a fire, it feels different from 100 feet away than 6 inches. You know?
Yeah.
It does feel different.
Yeah.
You absolutely encounter it differently at different proximities, I would say. So
yeah,
we'll get into that. I don't know. Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more, but, you know, scripture, like you said, it's before the face of God. And so I don't know, I have a lot of weird questions about this because this is a subject I think that gets really weird in Christianity and very like me-centric, like what I feel, what I get, what I experience. It's all about making me feel good. Like I think there's a lot of things about the presence of God that get very weird, like very off-center. And I think this is one of them where it's like to be before the face of. And my question is like, how do I want to say this?
Did we get away from the scriptural component of this?
Well, yeah, but like, is it that he is always turning his face toward me or I'm actually adjusting to come before his face? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like what do you think about that? Like, does that make sense what I'm asking?
Absolutely. There's different figures of speech biblically. So like the Bible can speak of God turning his face away from somebody. Mm-hmm. It cannot, like even Jesus on the cross, he was forsaken by God. But then it can also say the face of the Lord is against even those that are doing evil. So even then his face is towards you. The Bible says we need to be turned again for revival, mm-hmm. for repentance.
Right.
So even if his face is toward me, if my face is away from him, it's not doing me much good.
Right.
So the Bible says, return to me and I'll return to you. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So I think both can happen. I think God's a relational being and I think that we are relational beings. And so there has to be a mutual turning towards one another for the type of face-to-face relationship that, for example, Moses had with God, mm-hmm. that we're meant to have with God. But there is that theological sense where his face is always toward us. And there's also a theological sense where his face is always away from from the sinner. Okay. So then there's a third theological sense that Jesus is the face of God, right? That we see the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so he has come. So I would say like, at least in this time of the kingdom, before the second coming, his face is toward us. Mm-hmm. His arms are open, wanting to reconcile with us.
Yeah.
Was that too much?
He's like, I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on exactly here. It's like we jumped ahead in the things that we were discussing into do we turn toward his presence or do you turn toward ours? Is that where you're asking now? Yeah. My answer is yes to that. That was way down there in your questions you were going to ask.
Is it on there? I didn't
know. It's at the end.
Oh. So we're jumping ahead. I don't know.
We jumped to the end, so let's close in prayer. No. But yes, my answer is yes to all of those things. I think we don't take the face of God as seriously as we should.
Right.
Especially since, you know, you read in the Bible and Genesis, you know, or I've seen the face of God, mm-hmm. I've seen him face to face and I'm preserved. It's like, oh, right. There's chances that you might not be,
right.
Or, you know, no man has seen his face and lived. It's like, wow, what are we talking about here now? Like there's some serious things that go with the face of God.
Right. Yeah.
But I want to jump back into your first question about scripturally.
Sure.
Or what? Where that is? If that's okay, because I think we should build on this because scripturally, well, here's what I have. I actually wrote you something.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I believe most of the time mm-hmm. when we're talking about how is it used scripturally or how, you know, what is it like? Most of the times it's used to describe the person of God. And I think this is the problem that most of Christianity has with the presence of God. They forget that the presence of God is God.
Right.
Can we just say it right now? Right. You know, it's like, I know we sing songs and they're beautiful songs. I'm a lover of your presence. It's like, that means I'm a lover of you.
That's Holy Spirit.
It should be.
You. Right. Like, it's not just some, so I kept, I was praying about this and this is what I wrote, not just some, it's the person of God. It's not some just some ethereal thing, goosebumps, feelings, things like you just said earlier. It's his character that can be counted on. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the presence of God, we're talking about God himself that does not change and you get all of him all at once.
Yes. Right.
You don't got the nice God or the evil God. the God who's, you know, turns his face from you, or the God that's turning his face toward you, the God that, you know, let your face shine on me. Yeah. So when we talk about the presence of God, we're talking about coming before his face, becoming before him. It's a real deal. Right. And you get God 100%. You don't get a part of God when you talk about his. That's why earlier we were kind of struggling with, oh yeah, the presence of God. I think of the good times. Yeah, guess what? I've also think of the times when I felt him like, oh no.
Well, I think that's that's the whole thing, and this is part of why I wanted to talk about this subject is because I think there's such a limited, weakened use of this term, the presence of God, in Christianity, because it's like nowhere else do we say that. Like, I really like the presence of David. You know, it's like, well, I either like David or I don't like David. You know, it's like the.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm just saying, like, where else do you use that? Like, I feel the presence of Bob. You know, it's such.
Sometimes I can, because like I just hear his voice from like 2 miles away.
Some people you hear before you see. I have two really good friends like that.
Yeah.
But
before you come before my presence. Yeah.
No, but it is like this weird thing that we've substituted this feeling of being around someone for actually being with them. Like, no, it's not just, I'm not just in the presence of God. He's here.
Right.
He's here. And
and
if I understand it, what that really means is I'm actually standing face to face with him. This face to face of, yes, perfect love and perfect forgiveness and perfect mercy, but also perfect justice, you know, perfect truth, perfect light that exposes and reveals, like everything, like you're saying, everything he is. That's who I'm standing in front of right now. It's not just encountering some cloud of warmth.
No.
Or something, you know?
That's
you know what I'm saying?
Well, think about that. Like, I love how you said the cloud, because the cloud's linked to the presence of God in the Bible, but the cloud is pretty intense. The cloud is not just like, oh, that feels good. It's a cloud, a shade. The cloud has lightning in it. Like, the cloud has a blast of storm wind in it. The cloud has angels, like thousands of angels spinning around it. Like, the cloud is a heavy thing. It has fire in it.
And that's the thing, is I think a lot of people are very content to be on the edges because it's, you experience some, like you experience some good things there and it feels right. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, you recognize I'm made to live in this atmosphere. But I think a lot of people don't actually step in further than that, because that's where you actually encounter a terrifying God. You know, it's like, that's where the fear of the Lord comes into play. Right. And so I think about, you know, Moses and the tribes of Israel, where it's like God was there and they saw the cloud, but there was also lightning and thunder and things they didn't understand. And they were like, no, we're good here. We're good with just the benefits of God being around.
Right.
But we're not going there. You can go there. Well, we're not going there.
What we've done there is we've separated God from this thing we call his presence.
Exactly.
And so we've cut him up in little pieces. Mm-hmm. And also the cloud of the Lord hides the Lord from you also.
Right.
You have to be willing. You have to be willing to go in.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's a very effective keep out sign.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as well as a welcome, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
And so
he comes to you too, right?
What's that?
He comes to you as
well. Absolutely.
His presence is supposed to live in us.
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. But I believe that he's there to do that for us. Mm-hmm. But he would really, when we prove our care and love for him, we go to him.
Right.
We go to him. We are, there's something in us that compels us to go, to push toward him. And I think that just, he just loves that. I'll just give an example. We can just use natural things because we can't really, you know, you know, like when you're kids, you know, you walk in the house and your little girl runs up, daddy, daddy, you know, and latches onto you. What does that feel like? You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, wow. You feel like, oh, I have some, you know, some standing with this person and they care for my soul and you love it. You know, yes, you've come to them, but they came to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, yeah, there, it's very much mutual. It's great. Yeah. That's why I say the presence of God is great. It's scary. He's scary. He
and he's, wonderful and everything good at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, one of the, because I teach this in some of our worship stuff also, it's like you can have the benefit of someone's presence because you're around them, but you actually don't ever enter into a relationship with them, right? You can be around someone who's really good at telling stories, or they're really funny, or they sing really well. Like you can enjoy, you can be in the same room and enjoy what they bring to that room, and you get, you take away whatever you want from it. But you actually may never enter into relationship with that person. You enjoy their presence, but not their person.
Yes.
You know, I think that's like so key for when we're talking about this, you know, the presence of God. Like that's, to me, it's really kind of the outer, the very beginning place of him, you know, is that he's there, your awareness that he's there, which is a wonderful thing to be aware that he's there. But then what? Is that enough?
Right. Yeah, I think the when we relegate the presence of God to that, then it's a self-serving presence that you know gives us things we want, accomplishes what we want done, but it makes us feel good, but not really something that someone that we want to go into and, like you say, be in actual relationship with, to actually be able to speak face to face with,
right,
and to, you know, see how he sees. Understand how he understands. We, you know, like you said, you get all his benefits outside, you know, the things that come out through there without actually relationship with him.
Yeah.
And the benefits aren't evil. They're great. They're wonderful benefits. Right. But they're not all of, that's not all of God, because then we're just using him. Well, I don't know where we went with that one.
Yeah. David, I have a question for you. Does God's presence indicate his approval?
No.
That's a good one.
how would you explain that to somebody?
Like Bob said, when God's present, you're getting all of God, and how you're going to experience him depends a lot on you and your condition. So if you're in a condition where you're in shame and sin and guilt, you're going to experience him as a consuming fire. You're going to feel like I'm totally unworthy. Like I'm cast out, you know, like that's because you're getting, that's what you're receiving, right? That's what you're bringing into his house, into his presence. But if you're coming to him in Christ, you can receive him as Father. You can receive him as best friend, as, you know, with peace, the peace of God, like that is in his presence. His presence brings rest, according to Exodus 33. It brings the end of war. Like that's what you can experience. But so, yeah, our loyalty to him is paramount. You know, like that's, the loyal ones are the ones that experience the presence of God. And that could be his Holy Spirit. It could be his presence in his word. It could be presence of just, you know, he's faithfully shepherding you. You might not be experiencing, I'm getting thrown on my back and overwhelmed by joy. You know, that might not be what you're experiencing, but you can have him, I believe. But yeah, definitely him being present. He's present to judge in many times. Like the whole idea of the day of the Lord is that God is going to be present in fullness to consume wickedness from the face of the earth. So yeah, I wouldn't say it's approval necessarily.
What do you think?
I actually cited in my own mind three occasions when his presence is not his approval. One of them, I think, is in the garden when he showed up. There wasn't a whole heck of a lot of approval going on there. He still was taking care of people.
Right.
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 But there wasn't an approval. Okay. The other one, two other scriptures came to mind. I wrote these down because I didn't know exactly where to find them, but they were Jeremiah 4:26. It says that the fierce anger of the Lord went out and destroyed cities. It like went out from the presence of the Lord. I'm like, you know, so, and by the way, there's a ton of scriptures like this, but we, like I said, to just assume that his presence is approval is inaccurate scripturally. It's just not right. And so you made this like Santa Claus God, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the final one is Psalms 97, 5 and 6 tells us that the mountains melt at the presence of the Lord. Well, So I know there's some, there's things there that's actual physical mountains, but there's also mountains that are in our lives, mountains that resistance against the Lord. They melt in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, everything about the presence of God isn't all nice.
Right.
You know, there is, so to answer your question, it doesn't always equate to his approval. But a lot of the times it does. Mm. And he's a good God. Yeah. He's a just God, mm-hmm. but he's also full of mercy and grace, and he forgives. Mm-hmm. So I think in order, when we need forgiveness, we must understand where he doesn't approve. And it comes from his presence. It comes from his face, seeing him and saying, oh, this is, I've sinned against you and nobody else. So you're not feeling like all warm and fuzzy about that. It's like, oh, you're not approving this. Okay. But you get all God all the time. So I always like, come here, let me forgive you. Let me, you know, heal you and strengthen you and cleanse you.
Mm-hmm. Look to the sun, because mm-hmm. the sun is the clearest presence of God, the clearest mm-hmm. showing of his face. And it's that's a presence that offers mercy. If you actually will turn your face towards Christ, you'll be forgiven. You know,
yes.
You'll be restored.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I hear more and more from people in church and maybe in their own idea of spirituality that, you know, I know I'm doing these things, but I still feel God with me. You know, I still feel the presence of God, and they hold it up like, see, God approves of me. God's okay with the way I live. God's okay with what I'm doing because I still sense him and he's still around, you know? And so that's part of the reason why I'm asking this, because I think more and more, like, God's faithful. And he says that, you know, where two or three are gathered, like, he's going to be there. Right. That does not mean he's happy about everything that's happening there. No. It doesn't mean that his stamp of approval is on everything that's happening in everyone's lives or maybe in that church or whatever. It's because he's a faithful God and he's true to his word, and he will come. He will abide with you. But that, I think, is just a very dangerous place to say, because I experience God and I experience his presence, that means he's okay with everything in my life. But I'm just saying, I hear this more and more. No, and I think we can really fall into it if you're having, you know, like a congregation's having great times where you know, they're in worship, which he says, like, I inhabit the praises of my people.
Right.
That's his faithfulness. But that does not mean that there aren't things that he needs to, that he's judging, and he's, there needs to be repentance, and there needs to be a further conforming to the image of his son, you know? Mm. So I think that's one place that I think there's some misunderstanding and misuse of this phrase.
Well, I think it's also misunderstanding scripturally God, that he fills all in all, and that, you know, scripture, if I make my bed in hell, you are there. It's like, right. Well, you might be in hell and still sensing,
right.
Like, you know, like, wait, he's not really excluded from any place. Mm. He may not look on, you know, sin. He's holy, but doesn't mean he's excluded. He's right. God.
Right.
You know, so just because you sense he's there doesn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. In the prophet Jeremiah, he says, mm-hmm. don't keep saying these words over and over. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the right. temple of the Lord.
Right.
And he's like, I'm in your midst in the glory cloud. We're talking about his presence was at its highest degree of intensity on the earth, on the Ark of the Covenant, mm-hmm. in the midst of a people that were rebellious. And he's sending the prophets.
Right.
And even in the house of the Lord with the Holy of Holies, they had other images, like images of offense against God. They had
right.
cult prostitutes in there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay? And yeah, they could have said, well, we have the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Look at over there, the priest, he's going in the Holy of Holies. We're doing good. And that's right. what they said for 500 years. Mm-hmm. And God held back his judgment because God's very patient. Mm-hmm. And there were things that he approved in those 500 years. Mm-hmm. He's a just God. He's not going to say, I hate all you. You have this going on here. Everything you do is evil all the time. No, he's just, and he can still see, oh, I saw that repentance. I saw that repentance. I saw that good work. You know, come on, repent. Come home. He's bearing with them. But what they do is you take the kindness of God, and instead of letting it lead you to repentance, you presume and you store up wrath for the day of wrath, Romans 2. Mm-hmm. And so that is the choice between any of us. So if we're going to evaluate our life based on the temple of God or the presence of God, we're forgetting his patience. We're excusing ourselves and presuming on the basis of, well, look, I had this experience.
Right.
Or, you know, instead of by the word of God.
Yeah.
The word of God is totally congruent with the presence of God, like with who he is. And so if you're out of line with his word, don't say you're in his presence in the positive way, because his word shows you what he's really like, you know? So we can't presume to have his approval when we are disobeying his law. We're walking in rebellion. Mm-hmm. You can't, that's the story of the Bible, that you would presume as people of God, that you would presume that you're okay because you have a tangible presence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we also see that even today in reality, where, you know, someone has a great gift and they perform their gift, and people around them are touched by their gift and they sense the presence of God because of that gift, and they assume that everything's okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's not.
Or worse, they see how someone is living.
Right.
That has this, their gift is anointed because the gifts of God are without repentance, and that God, when someone is hungry and thirsty, he will come and he will fill them. Absolutely. Right. And he'll use that vessel that's there. But some, the dangerous people will look at them and say, well, they live this way, and obviously God approves of them because he's anointing their ministry. Mm-hmm. So it must be okay to live that way. And it's such a dangerous thing if you don't understand how God operates out of his faithfulness, because he's true. He will satisfy the hungry and thirsting soul.
So
he will come in the middle of people's praise because that's who he is. He's faithful. And he will come in those ways. But it does not mean that his approval is on an ungodly lifestyle, you know, just because he's faithful.
There's no get out of jail free card there just because he showed up. It's like,
it's such a dangerous place, you know? And I do believe that there are places in God that are reserved for those who are living a clean life, you know, not just like, I can operate this way and God will anoint it.
Right.
But there's deeper places. You know, who will ascend to the hill of the Lord, who has clean hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul, you know, to idolatry. But, you know, like, there's things that the Lord has that are places beyond just experiencing the presence. That, like, I'm trying to put it in terms, but that's really the invitation place of God.
Experiencing
his presence. It's supposed to draw you into more. Mm-hmm. And that requires repentance. That requires purification. That requires obedience to come into the more of God.
Yeah. And I would say there's plenty of other spiritual presences that would be more than willing to give you a sense of reassurance in your sin.
Yeah.
And that's what it talks about in 1st and 2nd Timothy, that when you have a seared conscience through repeatedly leaving the doctrine, a deceitful spirit can come and harden you in that.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you have to say, like, is this the presence of the Lord that I feel? When he says, oh, it's okay for you to sin and do that. Is that ever something the Lord would say?
Right.
Or is that a deceitful spirit? And so just because you have a good feeling, like you said, that does not tell you anything.
Right. It shouldn't. Mm-mm. That's good. That's very, very good. I don't even know where to go from here. Are there some important things?
Nice,
is there anything you think people should know? I think we talked about a lot of things. Are there any important things you think people should know about the presence of God?
Yeah, I just want to say earlier, the thing you mentioned about the people of Israel that are like, oh, Moses is going to go up there and we're going to hang back because God's so, you know, glorious and everything. That they had to do that. Sometimes I've heard it taught that it was like they could have gone up with Moses, but God actually said, don't let anyone come near this mountain. If even an ox comes near, it's going to be shot with an arrow. Only Moses is allowed to come up here.
Right.
And he's like, I wish you always had this heart to fear me that you have today. He approved them to stand afar off because that was the old covenant that was mediated through rituals, ceremonial law, sacrifices, priesthood. But it says in Hebrews that all that is put away. Mm-hmm. And now we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't have to do what they did then. we're not going to get shot if we approach him through Christ. Like, we have access and boldness through faith to approach him and get to know him and understand who he really is. I love how you said his presence is his person. Mm-hmm. If you get to know him as a person, you could right. never do that in the old system. Mm. That's why the new covenant is so much better than the old covenant.
Right.
They couldn't do the new covenant stuff. Exactly. Mm. Their sin wasn't even cleansed back then. It was just, it was covered. It was never taken away. Our sin has been completely purged. Mm. We're allowed to come into the presence of a holy God and get to know his presence. So I think people need to know that the way was shut. It was really, really shut. Mm-hmm. You could never have opened it. But it's really, really open through the torn veil. Okay. So go in and learn about the presence, you know?
Well, I would say one thing for people to understand about the presence is it's not an it. And he's not an it.
Right.
Let's not like separate God from, and we talked about this a little earlier, but yeah. to me, that's one of the most important things when people start discussing the presence of the Lord is like, it's this separating him from himself.
Right.
And right. It's, well, in that process, it's easier to just take the goodies. Mm-hmm. Right. And like you said earlier, I like that, is that a lot of times the things we sense about his presence are those things that are drawing us, like wooing us closer. So those are going to be better things mm-hmm. or good things, if mm-hmm. you will. We'll perceive them as good things. But the reality is, even with those good things, he's drawing you into a place where you'll repent.
Right.
So that you can go in further.
Right.
Because you can't go in further.
Right.
Without that. You don't get to go in.
You're walking the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. You don't get to go in closer to him.
Yeah.
That way. And so once you understand that, you're like, okay. So like I said, I think knowing in your soul from now on, if you're listening to this, he's not an it and his presence isn't an it. It's him. And just approach him and you'll be better off.
Okay.
Sorry, I just...
Yeah. Are there certain ways that we should behave in his presence? Now that I think is, you know, when you say like, I'm in the presence mm-hmm. of a certain person who holds position, are there certain ways you should behave or be mindful of when you're there? There's a question.
I have one thing that I think of is that I think we have a lack of honor in the presence of the Lord. I think that's like, to me, is like the highlight of if you want to know how to behave in the presence of the Lord. Because I think we've gotten almost reckless and sometimes, sometimes maybe because of ignorance, mm-hmm. not knowing or appreciating our God and who he is, his holiness. We get kind of flaky.
Yeah.
No, seriously. And so we treat him like, yeah, you know, I think that it translates into a lack of honor, that you're coming before the king and you're coming before holy God. And you just don't, yes, you come and you're not perfect and you have, baggage and you want him to cleanse you and forgive you and deliver you and heal you. But there still has to be that reverence. Yeah. For him. And I think that's the one thing, if you're asking that, that's what I, yeah. No.
I think awareness is key. Mm-hmm. So, God said to Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. And so a lot of the times I'm not really aware that I'm before the face of God. I'm living my life and I'm like, oh, this is family time. This is my time. This is relaxation time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not... Hey, how would I live if I'm really before the Lord? Because I am. If I believe the Bible, if I believe who I am in Christ, I believe the presence of God is within me through the Holy Spirit. Why am I not aware all the time that he's there? And that's not like, oh, he's going to get you. It's, okay, like I'm with God. I need to behave in a way that honors him, like Pastor Bob was saying. And if I lose awareness of that, I can't, I don't even have one chance of of honoring him in it. So
good. What do we receive from God being present, from his presence?
Yeah, I took this part pretty seriously too and actually wrote down some things.
Okay, great.
And scripturally, and just so good. People can have it, they can go read it too.
You didn't do that on my podcast.
I know, I know. Yours didn't provoke me to that, but okay, sorry. It's just that I have a special place in my heart about the presence of the Lord, mm-hmm. and I just think we just, you know, like poo-poo it. And it's just, anyway, you guys are killing me. What do we receive? The first thing people are going to go to, and it's rightful, right, yeah. is that the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, mm-hmm. right? And so we know that out of Psalms, 16:11. But that's a great thing. But a lot of other stuff happens in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
Some stuff is crazy.
Yeah,
like I started thinking about this and that, and here 1 Chronicles 16:33, trees sing out. Now that's crazy. I don't care what anybody says. Like, how do trees sing out? So now it brings it out of this normal daily like life, and all of a sudden, how does that work? Now I know we are trees of rights. I know there's what
they actually do. Plants are.
I know. They talk. Don't tell people. They'll think you're crazy, but it's true.
It's science.
Yes, they talk. They talk. It's science. It's weird science. It is. But it's like, no, it's true. They sing. Okay. And I believe
they clap their hands.
Aspens.
And they clap their hands. They have, yes, aspens. They are good. I like that. But it's interesting to me. You think about the presence of the Lord and what it does. Yeah. It brings all this stuff into our world, mm-hmm. like into our physical, tangible world too. He does that. Like he provoked, I think he even provoked an animal to talk.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we won't mention what kind.
No, okay. Animal talking there. we mentioned this earlier, Psalms 97:5, the mountains melt. Like that's a pretty tremendous thing that happens in the presence of the Lord, and you could be affected. But I believe we will also receive, thanks for getting me in front of this, I believe we'll also receive the fear of the Lord. Mm. Like we talked about that a tiny bit, but Psalms 114:7 talks about that. But in that place, you will actually get a understanding, a respect, a tangible understanding of the fear of the Lord. Zephaniah 1:6-8, we become quiet in the presence of the Lord. We settle our souls. We settle our spirit. We listen. Like, that's a pretty interesting thing. And then finally, the last one I have is 2 Thessalonians 1:9. There's punishment and destruction. That's yes. one of David, the pastor of death over there. That's what happens. That's what comes from the presence of the Lord. And like I said, we have this idea of the presence of the Lord is all this, nice, everything's, it's like, no, there's so much that isn't, it's all great,
yeah.
but it's not all what we thought it was or we perceive it to be.
There's no compromise in the presence of the Lord.
Man, yeah. You're up, David.
That's all I'm
saying. I've had enough. There's no compromise.
What was it, the benefits of it?
Yeah, what do we receive?
What do we receive in the presence of the Lord? Mm-hmm. We receive the Lord. You get to be with the Lord.
You get to be with the Lord. You guys should go listen to Pastor Bob's message about the Lord.
Yeah.
It will slice you up one side and down the other.
Do we have to listen to that again?
No. I think you receive humility and you receive beauty in the presence of the Lord. Mm. There's so much in him when he encounters you with who he really is. It's always different than what you thought. It's always better than what you thought. And it always humbles you, and it always puts you in awe, and it always gives you a purpose for why you're living. Mm-hmm. And that's why we say, like, there's songs about, I can't live without your presence.
Right.
And some people know what that means. Some people don't.
Right.
It's a nice song.
The Psalms say this, like, it's your loving kindness is better than life. Mm. My soul thirsts for your presence. I mm-hmm. long for your presence. Right. He was longing just for... And that's an old covenant system, and he could still long for the presence of God. And how much more do we have available to us to quench our thirst?
Right.
Our thirst can be satisfied in the presence of God. It's not going to be satisfied on social media or entertainment or whatever, or ministry. It's not going to satisfy your soul. Only he can do that.
Yeah.
And so we get him. We get him in the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he is pretty awesome.
He is.
And he's actually awesome in the definition of awesome. If you're
the first time awesome was actually you, yeah, right?
If you go in the cloud, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. I've only been in there a couple times, but it was pretty good.
He's awesome.
Yeah. I love that the word talks about times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. That there's a washing and a cleansing and a reinvigorating of life that happens when you're with Him, because He's the source of He's the source of life. Yeah. There's He freshens you. But yeah, I think that, you know, as we're kind of wrapping this thing up, just reiterating the point that, you know, you can live your life just always around someone. And especially if you're in a, you know, the company of other believers and, you know, you're in a great church that has an active expression of the Holy Spirit, and you can be around the Lord and you can receive a lot of great things and you can feel really good about that. Cause it feels good to be around God, like, you know, most of the time and, always, He always is doing something good. But I just want to encourage and challenge it's kind of the outer court place of then there's more. You can come in, you can come in further. There's more He has for you. He's not content with you just being around Him. He wants you with Him.
Yeah.
And as you know, He draws you in with His beauty and His refreshing and the love, you know, the unconditional love that you experience when you're aware that He's there and how He receives you. But it's not just to stay there. It's to come in. It's to come in closer with Him. That's actually what He desires for you.
Mm-hmm. It's funny we use that terminology, you know, His presence. He's present with us. Mm-hmm. You know, He's a very present help in time of trouble. Yeah. But when we talk about this, we're talking about He wants us to be present with Him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's mutual. It's always been designed that way. And I actually believe we are designed for that. Like, we are missing there's something in our being that's missing and hungers when we don't have that. Mm-hmm. We don't allow ourselves to come into that place of present.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Any final thoughts here?
Well, that's what heaven is.
Yeah.
It says, you know, His servants will see His face and they will worship Him. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no greater thing that we're created for. To have that vision of God and to know God face to face. We can live that now, but we're just heading for the kingdom of God, heaven and earth being one, where that's going to be our reality forever.
Yeah.
And that gives us hope when we feel like, you know, my life's a little drab or boring or dry or hard or frustrating. If I can just get my eyes on God, I can find refreshment. And I know that that's a prophecy of my future. Mm-hmm. And I can get endurance to keep moving forward.
That's good.
Very good. All right. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.